water, agricultural or industrial process water, or biosolids under a license permit or approval by the Department of Environmental Quality, the applicant shall explain in writing how alternatives identified in public comments on the land use decision were considered, and if the alternatives are not used, explain in writing the reasons for not using the alternatives. The applicant must consider only those alternatives that are identified with sufficient specificity to afford the applicant an adequate opportunity to consider the alternatives. A land use decision relating to the land application of reclaimed water, agricultural or industrial process water, or biosolids may not be reversed or remanded under this subsection unless the applicant failed to consider identified alternatives or to explain in writing the reasons for not using the alternatives. And you know, the part that we've emphasized is if the alternatives are not used, so if the alternatives are not used, which creates some suggestion, some implication that if a reasonable alternative is provided, there needs to be a substantive, there must be a some type of legitimate reason why that alternative can't be used. You wouldn't be, the statute wouldn't be applicable. You wouldn't be considered, you wouldn't even be talking about it if it wasn't.
There was a must in there, wasn't it? The word must?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, not must. If the alternatives are not used, explain in writing the reasons for not using the alternatives. I mean, it is as though, as shall, must, it is a requirement that they have to provide that response. And my position would be the response that you have seen is not a substantive response of any detail at all as to why they can't replace this limited amount of ground that we're requesting for a setback with ground that's currently available, that has irrigation systems. And again, this is taken from material that they said, we're not making this up. This was taken from their DEQ application permit. There's no substantive response. There's no detailed response at all to it other than it's cost prohibitive with no substance, no evidence backing that up of what the cost truly is, and that they need every acre that they have available. Which if we kind of examine that position for a minute, they need every acre that they have. Their proposal is only to use the existing irrigation system. So they really, their evidence contradicts what they're saying. We need every acre available. Well, you don't have plans to use every acre available because we have provided evidence that shows you have available acres in different spots that you could irrigate. They haven't said, well, we can't do that because it violates a permit. They haven't said we don't have a water right for that. They haven't provided any legal, any substantive response for why they can't, other than basically, we just don't want to. It's easier for us to just use what we have here, which can't deny that. But as we explain the impacts to the neighboring landowners, such that I think it warrants more of a substantive response than what the applicant has provided so far.
Have you approached DEQ with all these arguments?
We have submitted our comments to the DEQ, yeah.
And
yeah.
Did they respond?
No.
Any additional questions? At this time, I would invite any additional opponents to testify.
Chair Ekstrom?
Yeah.
I've got Caleb Lay with Oregon Rural Action in the chat was requesting for a chance to comment.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Can I get a sound check real quick?
Yes.
Caleb, I can hear you.
Great. Thanks, everybody. And I just want to take a moment to thank Mr. Mindran for his comments. It's always difficult to speak up. And spaces
you,
like this, and those were very cool comments.
Hold on, sir. Can you, I need you to full name, spelling, and address. I know we can see it, but for the record.
Is there a way to show your face?
Sure, yep, for the record. I will give it a shot here. I've got some bad internet, though.
Okay.
All right. Everybody see my smile face?
Yeah.
Evening, folks. For the record, my name's Caleb Lay, K-A-L-E-B-L-A-Y. I'm with Oregon Rural Action. The mailing address would be P.O. Box 1231 in La Grande.
Thank you.
I want to start off by saying that ORA is opposed to approval and recommends that the land use compatibility statement be denied. We would also like to incorporate by reference the public comments that we submitted to DEQ regarding this permit modification, and we're happy to provide written copies upon request. The objections raised by Mendrick Dairy appear to touch on exactly the reason opposed to these land application expansions from the start. It's over a greater area, which only serves to impact more land, more groundwater, and more neighboring homes and business. Wastewater land application on Farm 6 have not been sufficiently considered, investigated, or mitigated, and the potential harm that approval of this land use may have on public health, neighboring land uses, and the already ravaged groundwater of the basin should be sufficient grounds for denial. As we requested of DEQ, the groundwater of the basin should be, or excuse me, sorry, dog is distracting me. As assessment required by the permit should be considered before approval, not after. Anything else is ultimately just putting the cart in. Reports extensive history of non-compliance warrants consideration. If the port continues to violate its permit, as it has thousands of times in recent years, sometimes to the tune of hundreds of times per month, groundwater contamination will only continue to worsen. Public health will be at ever greater risk. The port should be required to demonstrate an ability to consistently comply with its permit. Expansions like this are allowed, not after. Again, that's putting the cart in front of the horse. We're also concerned that the port would be implementing what is ultimately an nitrogen index. According to DEQ staff, we've spoken with, this index has never before been used on a WPCF permit holder in Oregon, and the particular soil conditions in the Lower Uintah Basin make such experimentation rather high risk. The port should be required to demonstrate the effectiveness of this approach before its use is expanded over an even greater area. Additionally, we contend that additional options are and always have been available to the port in order to achieve permit compliance. This expansion is not necessary, and straightforward measures to do things like simply reduce wastewater production have not been fully considered. The port has always had the option to more aggressively pursue secondary treatment using that $2.5 billion per year economic output. They could limit wastewater production to amounts that it can responsibly manage with the land it already has, or it can simply take into account and fully mitigate the impact its operations will have on its neighbors, be they domestic well users or businesses. Finally, and just for the record, we find it deeply troubling that the Department of Environmental Quality would approve the port's permit modification before the LUX was approved. This amounts very simply to cutting corners to expedite the port's request. DEQ has also failed to respond to many of those who submitted to public comment on that permit modification, and many of those individuals were opposed to approval. Morrow County should not follow suit and excuse this corner cutting by DEQ by approving the LUX after the fact. The Port of Morrow has proven repeatedly to be a bad neighbor. Public health in the basin should not be a secondary priority, only be considered after the port's economic power has been ensured, and the members of this commission have the opportunity to do something about that tonight. We encourage the commission to deny this request and require the port to provide adequate information and plans and evidence that it is capable of preventing any negative harm before being allowed to expand to Farm 6. We also request that the record be left open and that we continue this hearing at a later date. Again, for the record, happy to provide those comments by reference in writing upon request, and happy to provide these comments in writing as well.
Thank you.
Stephen, anybody else online?
No, I see no further requests in the chat.
Any additional here? Okay. Anyone neutral or to provide neutral testimony or evidence in the room or on?
Sure, can I edit something?
Mm-hmm. Caleb, you asked the Planning Commission to enter your comments into the record, and we did not receive any written comments from you.
Yeah, so I figured if you wanted them, you could ask for them tonight, and I'm happy to send those by email this evening.
Dan, can I do that? Can we do that? If he emails them?
I think the record is open, but, you know, it's entirely up to the person testifying as to what and when and they want to submit anything. I don't know that it's normal or appropriate for the Planning Commission to ask for people to do things like that.
The reason I asked is it's the technicality part. He asked us to enter them into the record, and I don't have a copy of them, either electronic or paper, so I'm not sure. Since the record is still open, if he emails them, can we do that?
I don't know that the Planning Commission will get them that way. I mean, at this, maybe earlier today you could have provided copies, but I don't think you can do that now.
Okay, thank you. That was
my question. He certainly testified about the gist of what he was saying, and you know, so that the points were raised and preserved in record for sure.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to incorporate by reference are much more extensive, and I'll also include the testimony of several dozen community members as well. So I would very much like to provide those to the commission, and perhaps that's reason to keep the comment period open.
Okay, thank you very much, Caleb.
Okay, at this time, since we didn't have any additional, I invite the applicant to present rebuttal testimony and final comments.
Thank you again for the record. Sarah Stoffert Curtis with Stoll Reeves Law Firm representing the port. I want to first start by addressing the request to hold the record open. The port is opposed to that request. There is no obligation on the county to grant a request to hold the record open or to continue this hearing because it has already been continued. Any individuals that wanted to come and testify and ask for additional time could have done so at the original hearing. So we would ask the commission to, after it hears our testimony tonight, to deliberate and make a decision, whatever that may be. I wanted to respond to a few of the comments that Mr. Martin made during his testimony. Clearly, the two of us do not agree on the law, on what the Planning Commission is charged with doing here. I wanted to just hit on a few points. One, for uses that are permitted outright like this, under state law, the county is not allowed to add additional standards to that. The standards that apply here are the statutory standards. So you don't have the ability to consider issues related to the environmental impacts and the DEQ issues. That is, you know, it is clear under state law. There is well-established case law on that issue. Under OSORS 215-2463, which is the statutory language that Mr. Martin read, it is not the case that this provides the county with authority to approve the alternative. The language in there that I would like you to point you to is the language that's the very end of that, that basically that says, a land use decision relating to the land application of reclaimed water, agricultural, industrial process water, or biosolids may not be reversed or remanded under this subsection unless the applicant failed to consider identified alternatives or to explain in writing the reasons for not using the alternatives. In your record, there is evidence that the applicant considered the alternatives and responded in writing directly to those alternatives. There's two different letters from the court's executive director, Lisa Middlestarf, that responds directly to those alternatives and explains the rationale for not agreeing to those alternatives. And it's also the case that in my letter that I submitted today, I referenced some recent Land Use Board of Appeals cases that talks about the county's role when it looks at this specific statutory section. And what that case says, this is the case Oregon Coast Alliance versus Curry County from back in 2018, it says the county's role is, quote, confined to ensuring that the applicant, one, considered in writing any sufficiently identified alternatives, and two, explained in writing the reasons for not using them. That's the end of the analysis. And, you know, we have listened to the testimony about, you know, these issues and the alternatives and done, you know, responded in writing on the standards and that, and again, you know, we're not going to agree with the opponent's interpretation of the law on that issue. And then finally, I just wanted to respond to one comment from the last commenter about DEQ cutting corners by issuing the permit prior to the county's evaluation of the LEX. We submitted into the record the DEQ's cover letter that issued that permit modification. And what you can see is in that issuance letter is it says that that permit is issued subject to the county's issuance or signature on the LEX. So that permit is not effective until you do your work tonight. It's required by state law to have a signature on a LEX form. That is something the county has to do. So that it's not, there's nothing that DEQ did not cut corners. There's nothing unlawful about this. They did their work and they're waiting for the county to sign, put its signature on the LEX form. With that, I don't have any additional comments, do you?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. You can ask a question,
yeah. Okay, I just was wondering, it says the port needs every available acre within its property, including pivots adjacent to the property for the application to meet the groundwater protection objectives of the port's permit. Where would we find that, you know, verbiage in the permit? Why it's, I'm just curious. I'd like to be informed, and I've been reading all the OARs on all this stuff, and so I'm just curious what that actually
so you're,
states.
You're asking about the groundwater protection
objectives of the
permit.
Permit.
To DEQ. Either have to call on you or Michael. Is that a Michael question?
It's my question.
So I'm going to ask my colleague Michael Campbell, who's online and can likely comment on that. Michael, I'm hoping you heard that question.
Yes, I think so. Good evening. I'm Michael Campbell with Stoll Reeves. Same address as Sarah, 760 Southwest 9th Avenue, Portland, 97205. There isn't a condition in the permit that requires the port to use any of these acres. The justification, though, for the expansion is that the DEQ is concerned that the port doesn't have sufficient acreage and it's over applying wastewater to the existing area where it's authorized to apply. So the rationale from DEQ standpoint for expanding this is to avoid that over application, particularly in the winter when there aren't crops. And that's why the port needs this large acreage and why it purchased the property. But you won't find any condition that says you must use every acre, but that was the justification and the environmental rationale for the DEQ's approval.
I was actually looking at something similar. So the total application in that tract of land that was just purchased is 7,300 acres. The application narrative that was submitted to us is for permission to land apply up to 6,200 acres. And the DEQ approval is for 5,348 acres of irrigated farmland.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
So the intent wasn't that you were gonna irrigate all 7,300 or all 6,200 acres?
No, and Myth can speak to this, but in the letter that we submitted today, I mean, some of those areas that aren't going to be irrigated contain, well, this was the list that you provided to me. Potato sheds, houses, shops, hay to lay down areas, roads, areas between the established irrigation pivots. So there are, you know, there's a much larger tract, but sure. A lot of that is not, the irrigation infrastructure is not built. And it is the case also that, you know, this is something that the port wants to be doing as soon as possible, and the time required to, you know, modify things would also be a significant issue.
Mm-hmm. That's all correct.
Can I ask one more question? Mm-hmm. On Lisa's letter, it asks about, it says, these and other conditions of the port's DQ ensure the protection of neutral property. Okay. To further address these concerns, however, the port will voluntarily commit to not using center pivot in guns to apply wastewater to the four irrigation circles on the new property that above the Minder. What exactly does that mean? I mean, where would that?
Basically, any pivots sometimes have end guns equipped on them, and the point of that was is we remove the end guns on those pivots that are bordering that property to eliminate drift potential.
I mean, drift potential is obviously very big. I mean, my husband's lost several weed acres from drift, so
some
I
of the
get
drift
that.
Potential.
So how much does that take off of that little area?
Well, it will adjust acres on that pivot when you remove the end guns off them. I don't know exactly the amount of acres without going out there and doing analysis.
And my other question is, did they submit that to you, the gentleman that talked about the, you know, that one, the last gentleman, I can't remember his name.
Mr. Martin.
No, I'm sorry. The
LeGrand?
It's the guy that did the, said it, you know, if you spent $5,000,
whatever. Kearns. Oh, the irrigation specialist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you guys receive that possible, and did you consider it?
I think he's talking about this.
Yeah, I gave him all the records today.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah. Well, we just came in today. Tonight, we saw it. Too.
Yeah, it just came in today. Yeah. That's why I was wondering if you had ample time to...
And removing the end gun is very likely going to possibly make it that anyway, but you're talking about dropping like an end span there with controlled valving. I mean, that's
what
different.
What his suggestion was, I just, so that's pretty similar?
Pretty similar to dropping an end gun. It's going to drop quite a bit of footage off the end of that. Nowhere near that level because you're taking an entire end span off the pivot operation, I mean, through those areas.
Now remind me how often you test the water?
For DEQ purposes and mm-hmm. compliance purposes? It's done weekly.
Okay.
Weekly?
Oh, weekly, okay. Yeah. And then where is that water going now? Just wondering.
Currently it's going to all farms within our permit compliance now. So farms south of here, at this location specifically, and all around the industrial park, farms 1 through 5 currently.
So you're just trying to get that to be less amount in all those
yes.
areas.
Is this farm, is it in the Lawama or out?
Both. So the further south you go out here, the line, I'd have to have the map. I don't have the map off of that. But there is a certain point where about the very southern end of this farm is not in Lawama, and of course the more northern part is in the Lawama.
Can you consider other farms that were outside of Lawama?
You'd have to go pretty far south.
Yeah.
We have one of our farms, actually, Farm 5, is outside of Lawama. So there's, looks like Stephen has some maps here for you.
A lot of land in this county south of Lawama.
So I think they're asking to remove, what, 238 acres, was that right?
208. 220 or 2?
8.25. I mean, is that really going to cause that much difference?
Quite a bit of loading.
Hmm?
It's quite a bit of loading, yes.
200 acres is.
3%.
It's not, no, again, it's not. We took out a bill to build a home, so.
What they're asking for is 3%, but the amount of ground that's not currently being irrigated is what percentage of the